Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about how to love correctly, something that everyone dreams about. Not sure that we know how to do it correctly. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, and specifically regarding relations between parents and their children. Parents naturally love their children, but what happens many times because the parents love them so much and want to give them and do everything for them, what happens is that they get the opposite attitude in return. Many times I saw mothers with their daughters that because they give so much and want so much for the daughters, what they get in return are outbursts of rage, accusations, something really hard to look at. And it's very sad because the mother, she really loves her daughter and she wants to give to her. And we wanted to really find out, what's the right way to love? How could it be that love and hatred sometimes come together? That you try to give love and what you get in return from the child is an attitude of hatred. How does that happen? It's really at the essence of nature. Because the will to enjoy, the desire to enjoy, it's a raw desire to enjoy. It exists prior to matter, where matter, substance, later on is built upon it, upon the will to receive. Electrons, protons, neutrons, fields of forces, these are all expressions of the will to enjoy, either by rejecting each other or by attracting one another. Two forces, the force of rejection and the force of attraction. This is what exists in nature on all levels, starting with the subatomic level and up to galaxies and the entire universe, which is parallel to love and hatred. Yeah, and also later on. That's in the still, the way it all accumulates into crystals and so on and so forth, and molecules of the animate world, and you have growth where it emits and receives and gives, and there's already a kind of inclusion between the parts. It's not like electrons and protons that only connect between them mechanically, but there's also a reproduction as a result. The truth, it also exists in the inanimate world, but we better see it in the vegetative world. It's more conspicuous. And then in the animate world, you can even see it more, the force of rejection and attraction, which is also expressed in emotions, feelings. You can very clearly see it on animals, even though that it happens instinctively. A mother towards her offspring, suppose. And also among people, it also happens instinctively. But with animals, because it's only instinctively, within a certain framework, so there is a limit to the time that the offspring is next to his mother, and then it leaves, and there's no longer any connection. Meaning, nature controls them in a way that, to a certain extent, till a certain date, suppose, till a certain period, they have, let's call it, ties of love between them, and beyond that, suddenly, it stops. That's it. They don't even know each other anymore. A lioness can meet her offspring in some time, which is beyond the period that she raised them, and she no longer knows them, and they don't know her that much. And there are also different cases. There are like herds of elephants. These are big families and so on. Yeah. There are these and those. And among people, there's a problem with this because we belong to the animate world. But we have an addition. And the addition isn't that great. It gives us the ability to develop, but it also confuses us a lot. The opportunity of coming out from the boundaries of nature, beyond the instincts, where nature doesn't operate us necessarily, but gives us the ability to develop and bring ourselves to have control over our lives in a certain aspect, within certain boundaries. And it's especially expressed in rejection and attraction, love and hate. And we don't know how to correctly use it. And love and hate, these are the two fundamental main forces that is a result of which, or upon which, all of life is built on. So if we're talking about these two forces, we have to know how to correctly use them within the limits and in the right ways, both to attract, bring closer the beneficial and distance the harmful, and to know exactly what's beneficial and what's harmful, and this way to use these two forces that we call hate and love. So, if you're asking about kids, there it's especially. It's also between the sexes, which precedes giving birth to children. So, it's the same with respect to children. Because nature doesn't give us the limits and doesn't precisely aim us to hate or love, we have to restrain ourselves, the parents. What is the right way to treat our children, both in an attitude of rejection and also attraction? Or let's call it hatred and love, but it's not exactly. And here, we really have to first of all know how to correctly use it. Aside from the wisdom of Kabbalah, I saw no other method that really understands what it's all about, because the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah comes from the foundation of nature, and therefore, by this wisdom, we can understand how should we relate to our offsprings in a balanced, good way, in the right way, and correctly raise them and aim them to use these two forces. It's called the right and the left line, the attraction and rejection. So they will also relate correctly to everything in life according to the example that we give them, to relations with other people and nature and everything. And if not, we see what's going on in the world. People don't know where the boundaries of love and hate and everything, and altogether, how can we take these desires, these urges as reins and start controlling our life? It's very hard for us because these urges, they come from the foundation of nature, and in a person, because he's free, because he's not controlled by nature instinctively, he has freedom, therefore he harms himself and others. Whereas, these two forces have to be balanced, meaning rejection and attraction, or hatred and love. I'm not afraid of using the word hatred against love, because I have to show my children that I'm treating them by the middle line. It is an attitude in which both love and hatred are correctly included. And one can't be without the other. And therefore, utter love that has no limits is not good, because it evokes in a child spontaneously rejection and hatred. Why? Because he doesn't know how to respond to it. Actually, when a child responds to this limitlessly warm and loving attitude of his parents, the child actually wants to feel the limit. And therefore, he treats them offensively, disrespectfully, aggressively, because the child wants to feel where does the love end, because without a limit, we can't even feel it. And it also says so in our sources that everything has to have a limit. Spare the rod and spoil the child, and so on. Meaning, we're not talking about beatings here or something, but we're talking about the right kind of control, rein, that you really have to control the educational process. And also, vice versa. If we're all the time putting pressure and pressure and pressure, and we're not on the middle line, we don't have the right balance between rejection and attraction, the children also don't understand what's going on, and they're demanding a good attitude. And also, in this respect, they have different responses. And in short, what we learned with respect to education, which is what the wisdom of Kabbalah especially deals with, is how to relate to every gender, species, creature, and every state, and so on. Meaning, we get the right guidance of how to build ourselves. The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about the particular correction of a person for him to correctly relate to each part of creation, especially people, relatives, strangers, children, the whole of humanity, and each person in particular. And therefore, all in all, the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us how to love correctly. You said that if parents don't put a limit to their love towards their children, the children can't feel it. Why? Because by nature, we can feel anything which has a limit. If it has no limit, I can't feel it. It's like being in space. My senses operate according to limits. If I'm in space, please tell me, why is it dark in space? The light of the sun is there? Why is it dark? Because it doesn't hit a limit. You put some kind of a boundary, and then you see how much light you have around you. If you don't put a boundary, if there's no limit, you're in the dark, there's no light around you. Is the light there or not? With respect to you, it exists only if you make a limit. And also pertaining love. The loves around you, the love of the mother, the family, the everything. But if it's limitless, you don't feel it. It's really so. You don't feel it. And then you get mad at them and so on. Why? Because you want to see the limit. What's a limit with the help of which I'll be able to feel the love? That mom will tell me, not exactly like this, but do it like that, and yes and no. Why will that help me? Suppose she'll limit me. Because I'm created this way, that I feel everything only through the attainment of the limits. How does a parent decide what's the limit? For this, he has to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. I'm sure that by all the pedagogy that we're developing, all the different methods, we can't see anything by that. You see it on children and on parents and on everything and how the schools works and everything. We don't know the foundations of nature. And we ourselves aren't included of them. We don't arrange ourselves correctly. The educator, the parent, has to know that. And if animals know how to do it instinctively, nature forces them to behave correctly. So people, they are really in outer space. So according to what you see, what should be demanded of a child, how to put these limits? Miss, this is something that you have to study. You're a psychologist, and this is what you're asking. It's impossible. You have to study this entire wisdom. What is human nature? How do we feel? How do our senses work? How can we operate them? How can we operate rejection and mutual attraction between us, which depends on our natural feelings or not? Like with respect to a stranger, to begin with, I don't feel anything towards that person in terms of treating him with love or hate. And how do I relate to a child? Why does nature develop a special desire here? On the one hand. On the other hand, how do I overcome that desire in order to be in order to have the right kind of attitude towards a child? Maybe I have to overcome my instincts and give him plenty and abundance. I have to? Of course you have to. We see how bad it actually is. And this is really something that I wanted to ask about in Israel and among the Jewish people in general. It's very well known, the Jewish mother, the stereotype of the protective and ceaselessly giving mother. It's very well known. So what causes us to be that way? Is it a weakness? Why is it so hard for us to put limits? Because we simply allow our feelings to go free without using our mind. My mother wasn't that way. She was very strict. And how did she know to be that way? Was it an instinct? Now she's over 90. She's 95. And I see how her attitude was, she overcame herself and she demanded of me on the one hand. On the other hand, where it didn't have to do with my advancement, there she gave me everything. So you have to know where to put the limit and where not to. Yeah. So to know where to demand of the child, where to be harsh with them, where to overcome ourselves, and where to be a bit more loose. Look, again, you have to learn how to do this. And this teaching is something that a person has to get before he becomes a parent. And also, those who tend to children, teachers, they have to know all these things. This is actually what we want to learn today. What is the first, most important principle in this field? The truth is that I can't simply sew in the 8 minutes we have left. We'll be happy to speak about this endlessly, as long as we understand. The first point, the most critical point, no critical. You have to make a plan where the basis of this plan is the human nature, the will to enjoy, the nature of the parent, and the nature of the child, and the nature of the teacher, and of each and every person. And this will to enjoy is limitless, and it changes freely, meaning not by our guidance. And we, in our relations, have to see how do we enter the right kinds of relations to know the nature of the other, namely the other's desires, inclinations, responses, and so on. And this way we can reach a state where we will really be able to correctly and nicely connect to our children, both be their parents, which is to be above them, be their friends, to be on the same level with them, and even for them to be a bit greater than us. So they understand that by a good attitude towards us, they give us pleasure, meaning they become bosses over my pleasure, meaning anyone towards the other can be here greater, equal, or beneath the other. And for this, we have to make exercises, how to do it. Later on, we have to sit together in a circle, parents and children, and to talk between us, also in an equal manner, so that the child will feel that he is among people who understand him, that treat him as an equal, and for him to also treat the parents that way. It gives him the importance of his situation, responsibility, and so on. Meaning there are many exercises, and the main thing are the exercises. You can't give people lots of theory. There has to be some kind of a practical guide. From what age do you actually start putting limits and demanding from the child and treating them this way? First of all, you have to demand of the future parents, then from the child. Then you don't have to demand anything of the child. They'll already know how to treat him. They'll know how to treat the child without demanding of him, so that their attitude towards him and their relations between them will be such that they won't have to demand anything. A child will behave that way instinctively. He'll behave correctly instinctively if he'll learn the spirit from the parents. Which spirit? The spirit of mutuality, equality, respect. Responsibility. That the other depends on you. And the understanding that you depend on the other. All these things, this mutual interaction, this mutual connection, a child has to develop it from the earliest possible age. After a few weeks, maybe, he has to start feeling it. You can develop it in a child that by smiling to his mother, he wants to delight his mother. Is it important to develop this kind of recognition? Of course, you bet. Why? Because it's the recognition of the other. He starts taking the other into account, into consideration. As a result, he starts understanding how the other treats him, how much his mother loves him, thinks about him, and everything. Even that he is demanded of, he won't yell, "What a bad mother." Why? Because he sees that everyone's taking responsibility. He gets used to seeing that everything that comes from his mother comes out of love. And even things that aren't pleasant for him, he'll accept them as coming from out of love, out of his mother's love. And here he learns the principle of love covers for all crimes, which is what? That even though that the parent puts pressure on him, it all stems as a result of the parent's love toward him, loving him above the instinctive love of an animal, like you said, the Jewish mother that loves limitlessly. She puts a limit and teaches the child in a way that her love is balanced, is within limits. So what could help the child feel this way? That when the parent limits him, it comes out of love. A parent understands that from his point of view, but how to do it? If you're asking me, it'll give the child the right attitude towards the Creator. How to make him feel it? Not what will it give him, it'll give him good things for sure, but how do you cause him to feel it? Because he feels that someone's limiting me. How would we develop it with the Creator? I don't know. So I'll tell you, because it stems from the same root. If the Creator would have shown us profitability, would have brought us our correction, our final correction, a goal, that by this attitude of his, we reach the peak of development. That as if he's punishing us, as if giving us different torments, but it's not torments, it's not sufferings. By this we grow, we become like him, eternal and perfect. So a mother has to show to her child how much he attains as a result of her attitude towards him, which has limits, demands, that by that he will grow in a good and correct way, he'll succeed greatly. Would I have to explain it to him when I don't give him something that he wants? Of course, explain. A mother has to know how to do this. Like the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us, exactly the same way we have to develop ourselves towards the Creator, we have to develop ourselves towards our children. But towards our children, we're like the Creator towards us. And then by that, we learn how the Creator treats us, how we have to treat our children, in order to evoke the right kind of response in our children, like the Creator is expecting of us. Suppose I explain it to him, and suppose he understands what I'm saying. How will he perceive it emotionally? He'll perceive it emotionally from the examples. Like the connection you want to have with the Creator, make the same connection with him. What examples I don't understand? How will he understand me not intellectually, but how will he feel it? Aside from the feelings, you also have to develop his intellect. You have to balance the feelings with the intellect. Only feelings is the left line. The intellect is the right line, and you have to balance the two. And to always talk to the child on the middle line. Meaning not to give him everything that he wants. No, and if you give, he has to know why and how and so on. And not to be afraid that as a result, he'll enjoy himself less. By this, we teach him how to enjoy correctly. He also enjoys as a result of limiting himself, having to do different things, because he'll know that by that he develops wise as he who foresees the future. I have 1,000 more questions. Unfortunately, our time's up. We'll love to talk about it some more. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. All the best.